This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم فمخرج الصبر من الألم وملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم بالشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين رب العالمين. As we approach the end of Ramadan, I know one of the most common things that we're encouraged to do and one easy way to earn good deeds is to actually give sadaqah, to give charity and to spend in the path of Allah. And this is a prime time to do that. In fact, a lot of people even try and give their zakat in this time of the year because it's the most rewarding time of the year and try to be as generous as they can be to take advantage of the blessings of these nights. It is also the same reason that a lot of different, you know, organizations and causes ask for your support in this time of the year, because they know that the Muslims are more giving in this time of the year. I thought it's appropriate at this time to actually go over some of the things Allah says about spending in Allah's path that are guidance for us. So the khutbah is actually not to try to get you to give, but to get you to get myself and you to understand what are the requirements of giving that make sure that the good that we gave actually counts. We don't want it to not count in our favor. And Allah has given us guidelines for, you know, what mistakes can we make that nullify, that you know, end up making all of the sadaqah that you gave count for nothing. So I wanted to go over these ayat for that reason. This is actually one of the longest sections, or if not the longest section in the Quran on spending in the path of Allah. It's at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, and its placement is very beautiful. A few ayat before this, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He talked about Ayatul Kursi, the famous ayah, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. And in those ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned His unique name, Al-Hayy, the source, life, the living, the source of all life, right? That's Allah's name. Right after that, Allah says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the protective friend of those who believe. He brings them out of darknesses into light. And darknesses are affiliated with death, and light is affiliated with life. Plants, the seed, is dead in the dark. And when it reaches the light, it's actually come to life, right? The same way on Judgment Day, we're going to be in the darknesses of our graves, and we will come into the light, we will come back out. That's what Allah is going to do. But spiritually also, we experience darknesses, and Allah pulls us out of those darknesses. Then Allah, in the next ayah, so Allah mentioned His name, the living, then He mentions He pulls us out of darknesses into light. In the next ayah, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was facing off against a king who said, he told that king, my master is the one who gives life and gives death. You see the same theme occurring again. And that king says, no, I'm the one who gives life and death. And he takes a prisoner and executes him, and takes another prisoner on death row and lets him go. Right? So he says, I give life and death. And then that Ibrahim alayhi salam responded to him and silenced him. In the next ayah after that, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا قَالَ أَنَّ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Or like the one who passed by a town and he saw that the town was completely, utterly destroyed. It had been destroyed for a long time. You know, a place that has been this turned into a ruin, an ancient ruin. And he looked at that place, a prophet looks at this place and says, how will Allah bring this back to life? This place will never be restored again. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ. So Allah gave him death for 100 years and brought him back to life. And asked him, how long did you live? And then Allah asked him to look at his mule, the donkey that was with him, the mule that was with him, and said, you see those bones, the decays of a dead animal, and he restored it in front of his eyes. After that, Allah Azza wa Jalla again says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. My master, show me how do you bring the dead back to life? And Allah asked him, don't you already believe? وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. بَلَا وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. No, just to tranquil my heart. I want to ask you this because of, you know, I just want to make my heart feel at peace. And I've talked about this ayah at length before. And Allah told him to do the exercise with four birds. That's the famous ayah of in 260. Then Allah talks about spending. So he started talking about life, Allah being al-hayy. Then he talked about yuhyi wa yumeet, he gives life and he gives death, and all of these examples. And then he finally comes to spending. So the question is, what is the connection between life and death and spending? You see, if a believer truly internalizes that Allah is the one who gives life and death, then they become comfortable with the fact that they are this journey that they have in this life, that this journey that I have, it's going to have a necessary stop, which is going to be my death. And then after that, there's going to be another bringing back to life. So I don't see that as some faraway thing, you know, like the disbeliever, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it as something far away. Allah says we see it as something near. And a believer recognizes that as a reality. We recognize that death and what will happen after death is a reality. And everything we do in this life is actually not just keeping in mind, hey, I have to prepare for this week, I have to, you know, prepare for next month, I have to prepare for this trip, etc. I have to prepare for this next life, that's coming too, right? And so if I myself am going to be taken away from this world, and then I'm going to be brought back to life, then everything I own becomes easier for me to let go. So Allah, now to start off the subject of giving, which is letting go a part of yourself. And I want you to understand why this is important from another point of view. The money that you own, the money that I own, it didn't just come to you. You had to work really hard to get it. You had to give up a part of your life and to do a job that you don't want to do and to spend hours you didn't want to spend and to study exhaustively and to sacrifice playing games and sacrifice hanging out with friends. You have to sacrifice for your education. You have to sacrifice for job training. You have to sacrifice for the job itself. You have to sacrifice being impulsive in your buying so you can save. You have to sacrifice going to a restaurant or sacrifice, you know, buying new clothes. No, 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 we got to save. You had to sacrifice a lot of yourself. In a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person that goes out to work is ba'i'un nafsahu, is selling himself, right? Because you had to, you know, the most valuable asset you and I have, the priceless thing that we have is our time, right? And we had to give up so much of our time to earn an income, so much of that time. And, you know, people, you know, rant about it and talk about how much they hate their job, or they hate their commute, how depressing it is to be stuck in traffic in the morning and all that. Why are they doing it? What are they getting out of it? They're only getting one thing out of it, which is that money that they earn. So that money isn't just, you know, dollars. You know, that money represents a huge portion of your life sacrificed away. That's what it actually represents.
Which is why letting go of it is not easy psychologically. Somewhere in the back of your head, you know what you had to spend, what you had to give up to get there, to get that. So it becomes much more difficult to let it go, right? And letting it go is almost as if letting go a part of yourself. And so Allah says this, look at how He now explains what spending we should think about spending. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the example of those who spend their money in Allah's path. كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ, is like the example of a single seed, a grain, that when you planted it, it gave out seven sprouts. فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ, in every one of those sprouts, there are 700 seeds. So this one seed eventually grew and it turned into 700. But pause for a second. What process did it take for the seed to turn into a tall, you know, tall stalk that has seven sprouts and has 700 seeds? That's farming. That the process is farming. And farming doesn't happen automatically. Someone has to plant the seed. Someone has to make sure the soil is good. You have to make sure it's getting enough water. You have to make sure it's getting enough sun. You have to make sure, you know, bugs aren't coming and other kinds of creatures aren't coming and destroying your crop. Weeds aren't coming and destroying it. The farmer has to protect it delicately, almost like a mother takes care of a baby. It's a really delicate process. And they have to keep an eye on it until it eventually reaches to the point where, okay, now I can get back its investment. So Allah giving this example is really remarkable. We start thinking, oh, we give $1, Allah will turn it into $700, right? Yes, it's true. In fact, not just 700. He says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, Allah multiplies on top of that however much He wants. Meaning, the multiplication I can think of is 700. But even that 700, each grain will get replanted, and then it will grow another 700. And each one of those is 700. So it's 700 times 700 times 700 into infinity. And even that isn't enough for us to understand how Allah multiplies. So He says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. But before all of that, there's something more important, which is the grain doesn't just come out on its own. Allah created a system by which the farmer actually has to take care of the plant. He has to exhaust himself. So the fact that he just planted it isn't enough. So you know what that tells us about spending in the path of Allah? The fact that I gave isn't enough. Just that the fact that I gave, that's just the start. That's the first step. There's other stuff I got to do before I make sure this crop doesn't get ruined. And so He's mentally preparing me to be, not, you know, to understand this is not the kind of an act that is done and that's it, it's been deposited. Like, you know, like in the bank, when you deposit money in the bank, then you don't have to think about it again. It's yours now. It's sitting there, you know, at least $100,000 FDIC insured. But, you know, beyond that, you know, you have some level of security that's there. I already put it there. Not so when you give in the path of Allah. We give it, but then it's still in danger. Just like that seed is delicate and it's still in danger. So what could those dangers be? He says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنًّا وَلَا أَذًا. Those who spend their monies in Allah's path, and then they don't follow up what they spent with two things that can destroy it, مَنًّا وَلَا أَذًا. And I'll explain them in a second. And if they can do that, meaning if they can spend and after that not make these two mistakes, then لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, then they have their reward with their master. Then they have nothing to fear. Then they're not going to be sad. Okay, what are those two mistakes that are going to make sure I don't mess up? He says they don't follow up what they give with مَن, which actually means to remind anyone, yourself, anyone, of the favor you did to someone. To not bring it, you don't get to eat and mashallah, this year I gave a $10,000 check, alhamdulillah. Don't do it. Don't remind anybody else how awesome your charity was. You know, this year was good and I was able to, alhamdulillah, give lots. You know, I also gave your uncle. No, alhamdulillah, I was able to help him. don't drop these lines. Don't do it, you know. Man is to remind someone, or remind yourself, or to boast in any way about something you've done as a favor to someone. The problem with that is, I haven't done a favor to anyone. Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They're only spending from what we gave them to begin with. Allah gave me. I didn't give Allah. Allah gave me. Allah gave me this body. Allah gave me every ounce of rizq that I have. And then from all the infinite blessings He gave me, He said, give me this small percentage of it back. So And then I act like I'm doing Him a favor. And I didn't do Him a favor. He did me a favor by allowing me to give what was already His. It's not even mine. It was already His. And then He multiplies it and then gives it back to me again. You know, you understand this is the right mentality. And if you don't have that mentality, then you and I will start thinking that when you actually wrote a check, when you gave somebody some money, that you did them a favor. And that's a big problem. Because if you think you did them a favor, congratulations to you. You did them a favor. You have nothing with Allah. The deal with Allah is finished. So what we give can be destroyed by our mentality and by our attitude. And then he adds one more word. He said, "Wala adhan, mannan wala adhan." So the first one is to remind somebody of a favor. It's a hard word in English to put in brief language. The Urdu language has ihsan jatana, right? To just remind somebody that you did something for them, right? And then adhan is actually pain, the Arabic word for pain. Meaning if you're insensitive in the way that you give, you're insensitive in, you know, here's a check. How much do you want? When you have that attitude, aren't you making someone feel diminished? Aren't you making someone feel pathetic? Isn't that the most condescending, arrogant attitude? Okay, fine, you wrote a check for $1 million. You wrote a check for, you know, 100,000, whatever you wrote a check for. But the fact that you acted like that caused pain. You humiliated someone. You belittled someone. And Allah says, when you want to do that, then you don't want to be, the one who does not give honor will not receive honor. So if you can't give honor, then Allah will not honor that on Judgment Day. You wanted to feel all big, well, you already got your reward then in this life. That was your motivation. So mannan wala adhan. You know, in the case of charity organizations, like for example, people donate to a masjid, right? When they donate to a masjid, then later on they say, you know, I donated so much money to them and they still haven't changed the carpet. Or I donated so much money to them and then, you know, and I'm a member of the board, but they still don't go with my opinion. Did you buy your opinion? Is that why you gave the charity? Because now your vote is heavier now because there's a check behind it? Because if you want to buy influence, then you're not giving it to Allah, you're giving it to your influence. Right? So this is mannan wala adhan. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. Then he says, then Allah says, he adds, this was, you know, we get it. Allah said these two things can ruin your charity. Don't mess up after you give. But it's like, we don't recognize the seriousness of it. So he mentions this three times over. This ayah, the next ayah, and the next ayah are about the same thing. You know how Allah was reinforcing life after death, life after death, life. When I started, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, then the story, then the story, then the story. Like He's reinforcing the idea. Well, He's saying, well, if you want your charity to come back to life after your death, don't kill it. And these two things will kill it. And so He says again, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَىٰ in the next ayah. A good word, a decent word. Or even forgiveness, and I'll explain what these two mean, is better than any charity that is followed up by hurtful words or causing hurt. In other words, it was better for you to not give than to hurt someone. If you wanted to give someone and humiliate them at the same time, or say even a single hurtful word at the same time, and it's not even... Maybe you helped your cousin because he was going through a difficulty. He didn't have legal papers or whatever. You helped him out 10 years ago. And then 10 years later, you had a fight with your cousin. You're like, I should have never helped you 10 years ago. My mom was telling me this is a mistake because you're from my dad's side of the family. So I should have known. When that sadaqah you gave 10 years ago, gone. Because you brought it up again. You threw it in somebody's face, right? He says it was better for you to not give at all and say a decent word instead. Our deen is so powerful, Rasulullah will even tell us smiling can be charity. Smiling can be charity. Now we're learning a new dimension. giving and then taking away someone's smile will destroy your charity. And then he says, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. Seeking forgiveness. Now, seeking forgiveness is two things. Seeking forgiveness from Allah, right? But what is that doing here? If somebody came to you and said, I could really use some help. I'm really in a difficult situation. It's embarrassing for me to ask. I can't believe I have to, but I'm, you know, they come to you and they ask. And you're not in a position to give. You don't have yourself. Instead of saying, bro, you know I have a hard time myself, right? Why you got to put me on the spot like that? Why you got to, you know, why do you have to, you know, you don't see that it's hard for everyone. It's COVID, you know, the economy is tough all around. And then you're going to, you know, make me feel like I'm being cheap. You know I'm good, right? I give you all the time, right? I can't do it anymore. Instead of those words, Allah says a kind word and even you apologizing. You're apologizing to someone you weren't able to help. Why? Because that was an opportunity from Allah that came to you for an investment that you were making into yourself that will multiply infinitely larger if you were to give. So someone asking you for help is actually granting you access to infinite rewards. They're a gift of Allah to you. You're not God's gift to them. You're not doing them a favor. In fact, they are doing you a favor. That's the right mentality. And if you weren't able to take advantage of that favor, you should be asking forgiveness. Ya Rab, something came my way and I wasn't able to do it. مَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبُعُهُ. It's better than any charity that you're going to follow up with hurtful words. Then again in the next ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Again, those of you who claim to have faith, do not nullify your charities by these two things again. الْمَنْ وَالْأَذَى. By reminding, by mentioning it again, by imposing it as a favor, by showing it off, and by causing any kind of hurt, using it. And adhan, you know, well, adhan, these are open-ended words. So you can do it in any number of ways. You can even do it in unspoken ways. You know, you give somebody, some family that's not doing so well, and you decide that you want to give their kids Eid clothes, right? And you give them Eid clothes, and you're like, these are nice, huh? You don't have anything like that, right? It's pretty good. I know these. So, you know what you just did? You know what? It's better you don't give anybody. Because this way, you lost that money in dunya, and you lost it in the akhirah. You could have just bought yourself some candy and ate it with that money, instead of ruining it for dunya and akhirah. Don't ruin that for yourself. So that's one major warning that can destroy any good that I give. It's a secret between me and Allah. Now there's another, on the flip side, on the other extreme, Allah says in this passage, it's a long passage, so in a couple of minutes, I'll just mention two more things. He says, إِن تُبْدُوا صَدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِيَا. If you were to make the charity that you've given, or the contributions that you're giving, if you were to make it public, well and good. So there are contexts in which you can give, and you can also make it public, and there's no harm. Then he says, وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَى فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if you were to give it in a hidden way, and you got it to those who need it, it's better for you. So then how come giving in public is good? Because sometimes giving in public can be an encouragement for others. You guys may have gone to, we're Muslims, so we've all been to a fundraiser. So says, who's going to give? Who's gonna be the first one to give? Who's gonna be the first one to give? And everybody's looking at each other, bro. Anybody? Does anybody? And then one guy raises his hand. Everybody says takbir. And when that guy raises his hand, did he do it in public? Yeah. He did it in public. Or she did it in public. When they did that, somebody else got encouraged. Right? So they did it too. They raised their hand too. In other words, they didn't do it. So everybody looks at them and goes, yep, I'm going to Jannah first for all of y'all. Like that wasn't his intention. His intention was to encourage others that they can also take step. Maybe I can just take that step, right? If your willpower is strong enough, if you have you know the solid way of thinking about yourself, you don't waver easily, you know. The only way I can describe it is strong willpower. That you don't care about who's looking at you, who's not looking at you. You don't care about what people are going to say takbir or people are going to say astaghfirullah. You don't care. You're doing this because you know it's going to encourage somebody else. That's it. That's all that's on your mind. And well and good. Raise your hand. Make it public. It's okay. It's not hurt. By the way, the first two conditions are already met. You're not hurting anyone. You're not causing any pain. That's already met. That's already discussed. But then on top of that, if you want to say it in public, fine. But there are people that don't have strong will, that are too preoccupied with what everybody else thinks. There are some people like that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing necessarily, but it can be a weakness in your willpower sometimes. I meet people that say, brother, when I come to the masjid, I have a real problem. I say, what's your problem? Because, you know, before the salah, when I pray sunnah, somebody walks by, I keep thinking they must think I'm a really good person because I'm even praying sunnah. Like, why are you thinking about everybody else? You're so preoccupied with what other people think, that makes your own willpower weak. Because every time you take an action, you're taking into consideration other people's, you know, perception and the impression you're giving. Once you let that go, you have stronger will. Now you're doing things and you're clear why you're doing them, and people and their opinion and their perception has no impact on your actions, right? If you have that kind of strong willpower, alhamdulillah for you, do it and be encouraging to others, no problem. But if you don't have that, then keep it secret is better, safer for you. When tukhfuha, you know, وَتُؤْتُوهَ الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Now the last thing that's in the middle, and I'll conclude. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا تَيَمَّمُوا الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِيهِ إِلَّا أَنْ تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ. He says, those of you who believe, spend out of the good and pure things that you have earned and from what we brought from the earth for you, meaning what we pulled out of the earth for you, the crop that we brought out, and do not replace, do not exchange it for the filthy things from within it. In other words, you have, this year we should give, to an orphanage. We should give clothes to an orphanage. Okay, kids, let's go through our closet and see which clothes they're not worthy of us wearing them anymore. And let's make a pile of all the clothes that have, you know, holes in them, or they don't fit us anymore, or they're raggedy, and let's give those away, right? Don't do that. Don't give the worst of your stuff. Oh, there are refugees here. They want furniture. Oh, let's give all of our broken furniture to them. I didn't know where to throw it out, so let me just give it to them. I'll get sadaqah, and I got rid of my old furniture. You know. This mentality, Allah says, don't give the worst of what you have. Don't do that. Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot attain anywhere near goodness until you spend from the things that you love. So if I'm going to go get the family some new clothes, toys, whatever, right? And then some of them, we plan on giving charity. Buy those same clothes for the people you're going to give sadaqah to. And make your kids give it. Of the things that they love. It's a principle Allah has given. We want the best back from Allah, then we have to demonstrate that in this life. And he says, and وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. SubhanAllah. If the tables were turned, Allah forbid, if you were in a position where you were financially bankrupt, because your risk and my risk, your money and my money, your job and my job, your financial security, my financial security, none of this is guaranteed. This is a risk from Allah. It could turn, the things could turn in a day, in a second. And then I'm in a position where I need somebody to give me, I don't have clothes anymore. And I need somebody to give me. Allah says, if the tables were turned and people handed you the same things you're handing to them, then you would have to squint your eyes before you accepted it. You'd be cringing if you accepted it. That's what Allah is saying. إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. And why do you think you have to give such cheap things, low quality things when you give in sadaqah? He says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيُّ حَمِيدٌ. You had better know, Allah is free of need. Allah is already praised. Allah doesn't need you to give for His wealth to increase. You're making yourself wealthy, not Allah. And Allah does not need for you to do things that, you know, this is not your way of praising Allah. Allah already has praise. He already owns all the praise. He's not looking for validation from you. This is all for your own self. This is the mindset. Again, because we're at the tail end of Ramadan, this is the time many of you will give sadaqah of some kind or the other. These things are important to remember. And then finally, as I leave, because this is, you know, I don't want to make it a long khutbah, but look at ayah number 177. of Surah Al-Baqarah as an assignment for yourselves, Allah separates zakat from giving. Okay, so giving is a separate category. Zakat is a separate category. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And then separately, وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. Just separate. So the first category of giving, he gave people, who should you give to? Who should you give to? And the first category was close relatives. Close relatives. You know there's a reason for that, right? Because you hate your close relatives. And even when they need money, they're like, not him. I remember what he said 2 years ago at the Eid party. There's no way I'm giving him. Or my mom told me, don't give to that one. Or my dad told me, don't give to that one. Because in your family, you always have drama. And because of that drama, you don't help family. You can easily help a stranger. You saw a poster somewhere for some crisis. You can give with an open heart. But when your own cousin, your own uncle, your own brother, they're in need, you're like, nah, I know him. I'm not helping him. No. Allah says, give to family first. Why? Because humanity, the hearts get softer when you give to family. By the way, what did I say? You don't remind of the favor. You don't say hurtful words. That gets even harder when you're giving to family, doesn't it? It gets even harder. So those categories, 177 in Surah Al-Baqarah, go through them and then do a self-check of where in your family. I'm sure in your family there are some extended distant relatives that are in need of help. Find them out and find a way of giving to them in a way that will not violate these principles. And also don't give, sometimes you don't give directly. You say to your brother, or you say to your mother, or you say to your relative or your uncle, hey, go give this to this cousin, right? And then they give it, and they give it in a hurtful way, right? So make sure the people you, the channel is safe from destroying your sadaqah. Make sure that you do that, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept all of our sadaqah and make the sadaqah that we give a means of our own forgiveness. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla not allow us to ruin the sadaqah that we give with the mistakes that we make. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatam al-Nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا